Good morning, my friends. This is missionary Jim Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda. And once again, by the glorious will of the Lord, we are together. We thank God that we can meet via the airwaves of African Bible College Radio and enjoy the treasure of the Word of God. I'm very excited to continue with you this morning in Paul's prayer, as we find it in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 15 through 23. And today we're speaking again about Paul's third petition for the Ephesians and for all Christians, that we would have a knowledge of his exceedingly great power toward us who believe in Christ. And so, my friends, let us once again feed upon the Word of God, give God glory as we enjoy his Word and as we reflect upon these wonderful truths as God teaches us how to pray. In fact, let us pray now together. Father, your word is so rich, so true, so powerful. It brings light into our hearts. And we thank you for the precious knowledge that you have given to us who believe, that we have seen and believed through the Spirit that Jesus is your eternal Son, that he is the Savior of the world, and that he is a true man who never sinned but always loved you and gave his life a perfect sacrifice on the cross for us who believe. Lord, we thank you that by faith we believe that he bled and died for us. In your great love for us, you sent your Son, and in his love for us, he gave himself up for us. And by the love of your Spirit, the reality of Christ is made known to us. And we thank you, God, that you have done this wonderful thing, that you have loved us and saved us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, we worship him and the Holy Spirit. And we pray again that you would give us illumination, that you would convict us of our sin. Lord, that you would reveal to us in an ever-increasing spiritual way the knowledge of yourself and your will for us, and how it is that in knowing you we are to obey you and please you and worship you. Lord, we thank you that we can experience God today as we trust in Christ and receive your word to us, the Holy Bible, and that you wonderfully teach us to pray. You teach us how to talk to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful things that we are considering this morning once again. Thank you that we can have assurance of our salvation and know the hope of your calling. Lord, thank you that the wonderfully rich and glorious inheritance that is ours, all for your glory and our enjoyment, is made known to us. And we pray that we would know more and more about that. And we pray today especially that you would show us more about the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. Lord, we rejoice. You are the all-powerful God, and we are your people. And we thank you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. That's 0782-652-143. You can learn more about our ministry at www.actionuganda.net. You'll find wonderful teaching materials at that website. Please check that out and avail yourself of that blessing as God leads you. That's www.actionuganda.net. My friends, we ended last Lord's Day sermons with the wonderful truth that we find in Jeremiah 51, 15, and 16, that God, by his mighty power, made the earth, the entire creation, the universe, all that exists, that he made mankind and animal life and plant life, that he made all things that are necessary for life on planet Earth, and that his mighty power is expressed in the creation. And we said, too, that every human being understands something of God's power in the creation by virtue of the fact that we all are created and we have some knowledge, some sense that God created all things, that we see and experience, feel and know God's power in the creation, and that in this God manifests himself to every human being. But the saints of God, those who have come to believe in God through this great and exceeding spiritual knowledge, which transcends all other types of knowledge, because in our spiritual knowledge of God, God himself and his will, his word and his reality, his salvation is made known to us. And so it is that in the third petition in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 15 through 23, which begins there in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, and verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, we see Paul's prayer request for the Ephesians and for us that we would understand and have a spiritual knowledge of God's exceedingly great power. And we are considering again quickly this morning God's power as it is expressed in the creation. This will help us to understand more about what's involved in this petition. We see that Psalm 66:7 says this: he rules by his power forever, that's eternally. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. And so the wonderful truth that God governs the creation by his power, that God, who is spirit, is watching, that is, he is taking note, observing carefully the nations. He is seeing all peoples that he created that live on planet Earth. He watches them carefully, and he sees what we are all doing. And all of this is governed by God in his eternal and infinite power. So that the psalmist cries out that God will not let the rebellious exalt themselves or take control in the earth. And so it is that we see that this is a similar petition and prayer as we find in other parts of the Bible, where the man who prays cries out that God will bless the righteous, the humble, those who are obedient to God, to the good will of God, to those who know God, so that the wicked do not prevail. God rules by his power eternally. And so we see again the wonderful truth that God is watching and keeping the nations. And we are comforted this morning to remember again that God is fulfilling his purpose in the creation of the nations and in the creation of all people. He is governing it. He is bringing history to its proper end, to his predetermined purpose for it. And so it is, we see that God creates and God also governs in his providence, and he sustains through his power. And let's consider this and reflect upon these truths this morning. We see that the universe, all that exists at every level of existence, is made by God in his power. We see that from the macro level, that is the largest possible level, and we could, for our purposes this morning, think about the macro level as being the level of the universe, or perhaps at the huge level of the size of the planet Saturn, for instance. This huge planet in our solar system is so large, so much larger than the Earth, that it's really hard for us to comprehend its size. And then when we think about the macro level as representing not just Saturn, but the entire Milky Way galaxy, and then not just the Milky Way galaxy, but the entire universe or the entire creation of God, which extends to limits that we really cannot comprehend. When we consider the macro level, and then when we consider the micro or the sub-micro level, and consider that all that exists from the universal scale to the subatomic scale, to the atom and its components, and that the creation is composed of these things that are invisible to the human eye, atoms and the subatomic realities, these subatomic particles, these basic building blocks of creation, the atom and all that it contains. This reveals to us something of the power of the great God that has made all of these things. From the smallest particle of creation to the largest entity of creation, God shows his power. And wonderfully, the power to create is expressed, but, and this is especially delightful to my heart this morning, and his power to sustain the creation, that is, to continue the universe to exist from the macro level to the sub-micro level, if you will. God is constantly exerting power to direct the creation, to keep it going by his will and word. Creation continues today, just as he has promised. And so it is that God is sustaining the creation. He made the creation. He is directing the creation to its fulfillment, all by his mighty power and sovereign will. And when we reflect upon these truths which the Bible speaks about God's power, then we are led to consider the awesome power of God. I like to think sometimes about God's power as it relates to his ability to, if you will, create the dots of existence and creation. That's a phrase that we use in the West quite often. We talk about connecting the dots or seeing the connecting principle in circumstances or in the things of life. And so it is that if we think in terms of God creating dots and then connecting the dots, we see that God has done something wonderful, and he has done something that he alone can do by his mighty power. The dot of creation he has made, and then the dot of maintaining the creation has come about by his mighty power. And his ability to connect the dots and fulfill his purpose and to bring it all to its ultimate end is by his mighty power. And when we think about the fact that every atom that is created, all energies, all matter, have come from his powerful hand, and that he has created this in his great order and for a purpose, then we begin to worship God for his mighty power as it is seen in his ability to create and connect the dots. I like to think about the energy or the power of God, if you will, that is revealed in the creation. I enjoyed science when I was going to school many years ago, and so I still remember some things from science, and I love to rejoice in thinking about these things, all for God's glory, because God's power is seen in these aspects of the creation. There are different types of energy, and so let's think of God's power as being expressed in energy this morning for his glory and for our benefit. Think about the fact that all matter has come to be because God has power. Every element of matter has come to be because God has power. Again, from the huge planet Saturn and the entire universe to the subatomic level, God has shown forth his power and caused these things to be. Then consider for a moment the glory of God and his powerful expression in the creation of electrical energy. In fact, in our bodies, there is an electric current, an electrical system that God has devised and created in us. And it is through this electrical system that our thoughts are somehow communicated. It is through the neurons that electrical impulses bring about our ability to think in a real way, to speak, to understand, to move our arms for our eyes to see. We think about God's power as it is expressed in chemical energies. It's amazing to me that there is chemistry, that is, that God has created elements, metals and gases. And so it is that these elements all have properties and they interact in certain ways according to the laws of chemistry. And so we eat food, and through chemical reactions, our food is broken down and becomes nourishment for us so that the body and the heart are strengthened. Consider for a moment God's mighty power revealed in biological ways, in his creation of the human body, in the glory, the power that God has expressed in our ability to see, for instance, in our ability to hear, in our ability to sense. Language is a great marvel to me that God has given us the ability to communicate in words. And then think with me for a moment about the great power of God that is expressed in our ability to think. We think, our thoughts are known. We can think and consider and reason. And by the way, thought is an invisible process, isn't it? That adage that if you can't see it, you can't believe it or trust it is clearly an error in terms of thought, because no man can see thought. Thought is truly an invisible process. It's not possible to see thought or desire. How it is that God has built into human beings desires. And so it is that too is an invisible reality. It's not in the realm of the material. And so God has created by his power material things and the things of energy like magnetism and gravity and the working of the atom, the existence of atoms, things that are invisible to our eyes. And God has also wonderfully created light, something that moves very quickly through God's creation, which enables us to see and which sustains life on planet Earth in a huge way. And so God is also created spiritually. God is spirit. And so man, a spiritual being, and also a material being, a spirit living in a material body made from the dust of the earth, exists. And we see in all of this God's mighty power, his diverse workings, and his ability to do that which he wills and cause all things to be. Praise the Lord. He creates and he sustains. And then, my friends, we want to consider, too, this morning, God's power as it is seen in Christ the Son's power to uphold all things. We find that in Hebrews 1:3. Let me turn to Hebrews chapter 1. You turn there, too, if you're able to this morning. Wonderfully, we find here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that it is God the Son who upholds or holds all things together. That verse says about the Son, that is the eternal Son of God, the Christ, the Anointed One, that he whose being is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's also verse 4. And so we see God the Son's power, the brightness of his glory. That is, that he is the lighted glory and the express image of God's person. He is this glorious image of God. He is God the Son, fully God with the Father, and he is the very manifestation of God to us. We find that in this idea that the truth that he is the express image of God's person, and that God the Son, who in time became the man, Jesus Christ, upholds all things by the word of his power. In other words, the creation is sustained, maintained, and propagated, continues by the word of Christ, the eternal Son of God, who is also the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and the Son of God speaks in his power, the very power of God. So it is that the powerful Son of God, by himself or without other assistance, if you will, in his own power as God, cleansed us of our sins and ascended into the heavens, where after his resurrection, he sat at the right hand of the eternal God, majesty on high. It is God the Son who rightfully sits on the throne of the majesty on high, or of God. And so it is that Christ in his power upholds all things, and we must in prayer thank him for upholding all things this morning. We find in Luke 4:36 that God's power is Christ is seen in the miracles. Again, look at this powerful expression of God, that Jesus Christ came and did the mighty things that he did, all to reveal God's power to us. He caused the blind to see. The one who created the eyes and knows how to give sight gave sight to the blind. God the Son, who created the human body, touched human bodies and spoke to human bodies and willed that human bodies be healed, and they were healed of various diseases. God, who has all power, spoke and rebuked demons, powerful beings, and set the captives free. Christ the Son caused the dead to arise again. He created them and he gave them life again, so that the dead came alive. And then we consider, my friends, the power of God seen in the Spirit of God's power to regenerate. We find this in Ezekiel 37:11-14. That's the story, you might remember, of how it is that the Spirit came and caused the dry bones to be gathered together and then to stand and to live, and that the breath of life came into them, and then flesh came upon the dry bones, so that the dead again were called and by the power of the Spirit made to live again, were regenerated. And so we see these examples of the exceeding greatness of God's power. And then we begin to understand what it is that Paul is getting at there in verse 19, when his petition for the Ephesians and for us is this: and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? And so it is that we want to now consider the real heart of what Paul is getting at in verses 19 and 20. We've been setting our thoughts upon God's power in many ways, in the creation, in his sustaining the creation, and Christ's power to uphold, to govern all things, and in Christ's power to perform the miracles, and the Spirit's power to regenerate. And now we see that the Spirit teaches us through Paul to consider especially the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe. And there are a couple of things that that reveal this exceeding greatness of God's power that God wants us to understand and which will help us and guide us in our prayer. Notice here that it is in light of the working of God's infinite power or limitless power that he has exercised in his causing Christ to rise from the dead and in bringing about Christ's ascension to the throne of God that is spoken of here. It is the infinite power of God working. God's power, which is greater than all of the manifestations or expressions of his power that we might see in the creation, is limitless and it is infinite. And the prayer is really getting at this. It is that Christians would know the exceeding or limitless power of God and that he has done two wonderful things for us who believe in Christ. He has, by his mighty working, raised Christ up from the dead. And so we can understand more about this exceedingly great power of God by virtue of Christ's resurrection. It is because of Christ's resurrection, my friends, that we are saved from our sins. And then secondly, the exceeding great power of God is seen to cause the man, Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, to, after his resurrection, ascend through the heavens and come to sit on the very throne of God, where he rules over everything in this exalted position. He is governing the universe. He who created all things now rules all things as the glorified man, Jesus Christ. And so this rule of Christ, who is now incarnated, the rule of the perfect man, Jesus Christ, who governs the creation, is all for the sake of the church. And so Paul teaches us to know these things and to know them in an ever-increasing spiritual way as we experience God, as we enjoy him and give him glory, and as we pray for God's will to be done. And so, my friends, there's much more to say about these wonderful truths of Christ raising from the dead and his ascension to the throne of God. We'll have to continue next Lord's Day morning at that point as the Lord enables us to. And so let us now pray together. Father, these are glorious truths. Lord, this puts steel into our backbones. We are mightily strengthened in our hearts and minds and our wills, knowing that your infinite power is expressed to us in Christ's arising from the dead after he suffered and died for our sins. And in his ascension to the very throne of God, you have shown forth your power, your exceedingly great power toward us. And so we believe in Christ, and through Christ we worship you, Lord, and we thank you for these things. And so enable us to pray and understand now, Lord, that we would know more fully your exceeding great power toward us who believe. Have your glory in that, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen.